Now he's going to go to some practical stuff. This is how you need to apply them. And I think that's the same for us. Theologically, having been saved and come to faith in Christ, we need then to work out what we're doing with our lives. As I've said so often before, it's not just we sit back with our ticket to heaven saying, that's me done. It's actually the start, isn't it, really? It's the start of... Irene's nodding, that's good, somebody's with me. Thank you, Irene. Some themes in the previous chapters. God has also allowed the Gentiles into his family. Probably one of the biggest things, theologically, in the entire Bible for many of us who are not Jewish. God has actually allowed us to become part of the family of faith. That's what Paul's teaching. Probably in his day, that was quite contentious. The Jews had this, if you like, elitism. There's only us out of all the nations that have been called to God. We're different, which was right. But actually, Christ then comes along and says, hang on, as the Bible says, it's for the whosoever, isn't it? No matter what nation you're from, no matter what ethnicity, no matter what your background, it's open to all, which is a fantastic thing. So Paul's teaching, God has allowed the Gentiles into his family. He teaches also the promise to Abraham is not bound by seed or lineage. You don't any longer have to be part of that line. It's by faith to become children of Abraham. We used to sing a song many years ago. Linda's at the back there, Sunday school. Father Abraham had many sons. Linda's nodding at me. I am one, so are you. Yeah. Some of us remember those old Sunday school songs, but it's true. We are of Abraham, even though I am not ethnically Jewish. It's by faith. That's what Paul's teaching. Here's another big revelation. Romans is full of big revelations. The works of the law have been superseded by the work in our heart, is what Paul says. It's no longer living according to the law. You live according to what God speaks to you in your heart. That's why we're forever saying we need to listen to what the Holy Spirit's telling us. God has given us a witness in our heart, hasn't he? The promise was way back in the Bible that he would give a new covenant written in our hearts. You'll find that in Jeremiah. So Paul's throwing these big bombs or hand grenades of theology to Jews, thinking, what's going on? Paul's saying, the whole landscape has changed. Christ has come, and the whole thing has changed. There are still lots of Jews who don't believe that, waiting for a Messiah that didn't, if you like, suffer. The works of the law are displaced by what is written in our heart. Also, faith, not works. That's what he's teaching. It's by faith. We all know this, but I'm trying to underline for you. When he says, therefore, I've taught you all this, because of that, this is what you should do. So these are the keys to, if you like, living our responsible life. It's probably hints back to what he said earlier, chapter 6, verse 13. This is Paul writing. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness. So he's already stated this, Romans 12, if you like, he amplifies it. He mentions six things here, so very simple as a preacher for me to talk about these, because I'm going to use what Paul says rather than my headings. That's okay, I can cope with that. First of all, Paul says we must at all times remember God's mercies. Therefore, I urge you, because of God's mercies. Actually, in the Greek, mercy, I think, singular in the NIV. In the Greek, it's a plural. I think it's the book of Lamentations that says, God's mercies are new every morning. So when you get up every day, you can say, thank you, God, my sins are forgiven. Wow. Every day. Paul says, in a sense, if we're going to live our Christian life, this needs to be at the forefront of our mind. In the olden days, in the Old Testament, they used to write stuff and wrap it around the head to remember the laws and the commandments. Paul's saying, this is what you need to remember, his mercies. The mercy of God. I put down here, sin and salvation are tied to each other. Salvation, when we use that phrase, I'm saved, the question ought to be, what are you saved from? We're saved from sin. We're saved from, if you like, punishment. It's not a popular concept, but it's a biblical concept. I'm going to blow my nose, I think, otherwise I'll have a runny nose and that won't be good viewing. For those listening by audio, you've been saved. So, God's mercies, our sins, the Bible says, which were many, have all been made as white as snow. That's a great thing, isn't it? I say this often, and some of you will know it, past, present, and future, our sins are forgiven. Wow. In the light of God's mercies, what should my response be? The gospel says, he who is forgiven much, loves much. Should be in your heart. That sense of forgiveness, Mark was encouraging us this morning as we were singing to praise. The Bible says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. If your heart is full of love, there should be something coming out. Praise. Thank you for saving me. What are we saved from? We're saved from sin. And if you want the heavy bit, we're saved from going to the other place that isn't heaven. The Bible talks about heaven and hell. There will be a judgment, and according to where we've put our faith and our belief, we'll end up in one place or the other. That's what the Bible teaches. In the light of God's mercies, we should present ourselves, Paul says. So there should be that constant, if you like, idea in our head and our heart of what we've been saved from. That's why it's never really awkward to talk about the cross and salvation, because that's the heart of the gospel. Without that, we've got nothing, have we? If Christ hasn't died for our sins, we're still in them, Paul says. And that's a place I don't want to be. So we should be thankful for his mercy. So if we want to live, if you like, a responsible life, we should be always aware of what he's done and the cost. Again, I'm quoting stuff from memory here, but the Bible says we're not bought with silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Jesus. It's something far more worthy. So first of all, we must at all times remember God's mercies. I'm sure you're aware of that. Secondly, he says, because of God's mercies, brothers and sisters, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. Every part of you, body, soul, spirit, mind, the whole lot. We've just sung a song, you give life, you are love. He gives life. The reason we're here is because of him. God spoke and there was, out of nothing. Our lives are because of him. We must present our bodies. Now, it's interesting because Paul's writing at a time when Roman and Greek ideas are about. The Greeks particularly wanted to be loosed of the body and let their spirit be free. Some of you, I presume, are familiar with the word philosophy. What does it mean?
Ideas? Think
ideas? Yeah, maybe. Philosophy? I'll give you a Greek lesson for free here. This is good, isn't it? You know. Phileo means to love. There are four Greek words for love, only two in the Bible, phileo and agape. Sophia means wisdom. Somebody who likes philosophy is a lover of wisdom. They loved intellect and thinking, and they thought the body was, something that's in the way. We need to escape the body. But Paul says, no, hang on, your body's all you've got to give. If you can't give that, you're struggling, aren't you? In the light of God's mercies, present your bodies. Can't remember, is it? Isaiah, I think, 6, I think it is. But when Isaiah's in the temple, he has that view of the Lord, and he says, here I am, send me. Now I've seen that, in the light of what I've seen, I present myself. We should be giving ourselves to God. Sometimes we're of the view, you know, we get our heads up, somebody else will do it. I wonder who that somebody else is. Maybe it's me or you. You may have creative abilities. Well, God's the creator. We're in his image. That's not unusual, is it? God can create the universe. We can be creative in the way we are. Some are more creative than others. But you need to present your body. Your mind. We'll get onto that in a minute more so. But the soul for the Greek, and certainly the way it's written, was about personality, who you are, your characteristics. God can use that. Funny, isn't it, how a smile can encourage people? A smile and a kind word. Offer all of ourselves, body, soul, and spirit. Paul said, again, it's in Romans, the wages of sin are death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Why does he say that? He's saying, really, it's not a normal pattern for man to die. It wasn't the way it was planned. Sin came into the world, and because of it, our bodies inherited that sin. If you look at the age spans in the Old Testament, people are living 900 and odd years. Wow, imagine that. Even with modern day medicine and technology, we're not getting anywhere near that. Sin came in, and because of it, death came in. The Bible says the last enemy to be defeated is death. But thankfully, we know somebody who's got a bunch of keys, don't we? He holds the keys to death and hell, it says, Revelation says of Jesus. We shouldn't be worried about death. It's a gateway to another life. The end's not yet, is it? That's what we believe. Again, Paul's talking the body, because according to the Bible, our bodies will be resurrected and will be given new ones. If our body's not important, what's the point? It's our body. We present our bodies and say, God, here I am, as useless as I am, use me. See, God can anoint that. What he can't anoint is you saying, you can have 90%, but I've got 10% I'm reserving for myself. It's basically all or nothing. As the quote goes, if he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. All of you once. All of you. Our final hope is the resurrection of our bodies. So our bodies are important. Present your bodies. Here's, you can see the contrast, can't you? As what does he say? What sort of sacrifice are we? The Old Testament, for the sacrifice to be acceptable, had to be killed and bloodshed. So the sacrifice in the Old Testament was dead. I'm thankful God's not asked me to do that. So present yourself as a living sacrifice. In other words, as you are living out your life, serve me. Be useful. It's an amazing thing, isn't it, that the omnipotent, all-powerful God who created the world out of nothing still wants to use us? What a thing. God has chosen to use us. Has he lost it? Has he lost his marbles? He wants to use us. Yeah. That's how he does it. He's going to declare his wisdom, manifold wisdom, through the church. And the world's going to look on and say, we didn't see that coming. What a thing. Offer our bodies, the whole person, all of you, body, soul, and spirit. So sometimes that means we've got to submit our desires and say, okay, this is my idea, but you've got something different. I'm going to leave it. I'm going to put it down. You tell me what you want me to do. Remember Jesus in the garden? Gethsemane, he prayed, Lord, not my will be done, but your will. This is what you're asking me to do. It's pretty tough. Let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but your will be done. Many of us, probably the older generation, myself included, were taught in school to say the Lord's Prayer. Many of us said it in school. Let your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're saying, in a sense, we submit our desires and plans to you, because your way, that's what he says at the end, God's will, his pleasing and perfect will. Are we praying for God's will to come, or are we praying for what we want to happen? First of all, we remember God's mercy. Secondly, we offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. Sacrifice, sometimes it's not easy when you don't feel like doing stuff. But we've still got to remember, God's there. God wants to see not only our praise, but our service. Thirdly, Paul says, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. That is your true and proper worship. Holiness is linked we're serving God. Because what we're saying is, they say about repentance, it means literally a turning round. If you repent, you're on a different path than you were before. It's about turning our lives round and not living as we did before. So holiness is about lifestyle, about ethics, what we think and how we behave, which are linked to what we believe. What Jim used to say, isn't it, Mark? If things don't change according to what we believe, we don't believe them. Our lifestyle, our ethics, our values should be based on what we believe. Quite interesting, when I was teaching religious studies at A-level at Clarendon, the most interesting classes were the ones about ethical issues. I was teaching people aged between 16 and 18, and they were really fascinated about things like abortion, euthanasia, real into those sort of all ethical questions. How should we react to life? How should we react to the end of life? What's our view on certain things? Ethically, and how we live, is determined by what we believe. We shouldn't be ashamed of that. True and proper worship, Paul says. Worship comes from the English word, means worth-ship. How much is it worth? How much is God worth to you in order to get you not simply to worship in song, but to worship with your lifestyle? Offering yourself. Behind those who serve God in sort of convents or monasteries is that idea we're giving ourselves to serve. We may not agree with it, but that was our understanding. Still is for many. They're offering their lives to serve God, which is our true and reasonable worship. In other words, I think it's the Westminster Catechism says, the chief end of man is to worship God. That's what we're made for. It's one of my favourite verses in Ecclesiastes. It says, God has set eternity within the hearts of man. Wow. There's this bit of us that actually understands there's something more out there. Paul's already said at the start of chapter 1, there's no excuse for not worshipping, because if you look up in the sky, it declares the glory of God, the Creator. They're still working out, and they're sending missions here, there, everywhere, Mars, Venus, to look at how the world is and the universe, and they've worked out there are other galaxies apart from the Milky Way. I don't think we'll ever get to the end of it. We still don't understand it. And yet, the one who made it all wants to talk with us and be with us and wants us to respond to him. What a thing. Worship, worship. Proverbs says, my son, give me your heart. That's what God wants. See, I've said this before. At some point, I'll probably teach about giving. Derek's at the back now. We talked about this last week in terms of our offerings. But if God can get my heart, my wallet's not an issue, is it? Hello? Anyone out there? Because once your heart's won, nothing's too much. I said to some of you before, and I think it was, I don't know, 10 or 12 months ago, I took my grandson to his first football match, Liam. Went to see United and Everton, and he'd had enough by half time. He wanted to go home. But during the break, he wanted to go to the loo. And obviously, as he went to the loo, United scored. That's the way it always happens. And he said, Grandad, can you get me a Coke? So I said, yeah. And I went to the thing, said, can I have a Coke? And I thought she said £1.20. And I thought, that's reasonable. £3.20. It was dearer than the beer. The beer was only £3. And I thought, he can have what he wants, actually. I might have moaned about it, but in my heart, he can have what he wants. I love him to bits. If your heart has won, anything else doesn't matter, does it? You shouldn't be constrained about, because the one who saved us is worthy of our love, isn't he? He's worthy of my worship. True praise and worship, Paul says, that's what we should be responding, not just verbally, but in the way we live and what we do. That's why the scripture talks about God loves a generous giver. It's about your heart. God can capture your heart. Everything else is easier after that. Incidentally, if you want my take on it, it's a very simple one. What should you give? Whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to give. That's what the Bible says. It's not for us to dictate. It's for you to talk with God and say, what do you want me to give? But I tell you what, there's no getting out of the fact he wants you to give your life. Okay. This is your true and proper worship. I'm working through the text here. Do not conform to the pattern of this world or this age. Interestingly, we live in a society, and depending where we're born and where we live, things are different, but we live in, if you like, the West. The way we are brought up, the way we're taught at school, reinforces often the standards of this world we live in, of this age, not necessarily the Christian standards. And there's a danger to fall into that trap of living as the world lives. I don't know if you've had conversations with people, I've had many, when you talk about your faith, and then they talk about something that's perhaps not so good, and they say this great line, everyone's doing it. Which point we need to say, I'm not. Everyone, and so sometimes, because I'm mischievous, you know what I'm like, I say, so you've interviewed everyone in the world, have you? Everyone's doing it. Well, how do you know? It's just a get-out clause that excuses them, basically, from committing sin. It's a bit strong, isn't it? This age, this world, our education. Not very good at talking us about believing things. It's very good at talking to us about science and cause and effect. Got to work out cause and effect. Got to sort all this out. Then we find things are not quite the way they seem. But we're not taught about faith and belief, are we? If you live in the East, it might be different. They're more into mysticism and talking about spiritual stuff. But we're not. It's almost seen as, you know, you've lost your head if you believe stuff. Everything's got to be proved. Won't get into the argument too much, but our recent politics, what's going on at the moment? Poor old Liz Truss is struggling, I think. Money, everything's going up. Fuel bills. I came home the other day, said to Sue, I've just bought a loaf, bought some bread. It's £1.40. What happened? It was £1.10 about 2 weeks ago. I was annoyed, you know, the bread had gone up without me knowing. Everything's gone up. But the kingdom of heaven says, do not worry about your clothes, about what you wear, or about what's going to happen tomorrow. Your heavenly Father has got it all in hand. But we're in a world that says, panic, it's all going wrong. Things are going... I'm not saying stick your head in the sand and don't look at it. What I'm saying is, there's a different agenda. We live in the kingdom of God. We are in this world, the Bible says, but not of it. We are, here's the big revelation for you. Get excited. We are supernatural beings. Born of the Spirit of God. I'm not just human, I'm supernatural. Sometimes it doesn't look like I am, but I am honest. But you see, this world has taught us certain things. If we're not careful, we start living by those standards. The Bible says, no, hang on, you've got to be different. Live such lives among the pagans, they will see your works and glorify God. What's the way we should do it? Shine out. I think it's C.T. Studd famously said, I'm going to get on fire for God and people will come and watch me burn. Well, are you getting on fire for God? Am I? How we taught in our schools, science, cause and effect, no room for faith. Some biblical ideas are not maintained. Lying, as long as you get away with it, it's okay, isn't it? Well, a little white lie's all right, isn't it? These are the standards that are being taught. And if you're not careful, we slip into them. I remember some time ago, I can't remember, I think it was Argos. I paid for something, and the woman gave me change out of £20, and I'd only given her 10. I thought, that's great, and I'd run off with the tenner. No. I said, you've given me too much. She said, what? I can't believe you're giving me money back. I said, you give me too much. As my friend Andrew Sherman used to say, honesty is not the best policy, it's the only policy. How are we when those sort of things happen? Where are our standards? Or are we living double lives? We've got a bit of this world stuff in us, and we like those little bits. and we've got a bit of Christianity in us, and we like those bits. How we live is important. Sorry if this is a bit challenging, but that's the way it goes. Maybe you're one of those, you know, don't fancy work today, phone in sick, you're all right. Oh, I'm not too well, I've had a bad night. Is that okay? That's up to you, innit? I can't decide for your life how you react. I can decide what's right and wrong according to my moral compass and what God tells me. But there's a danger of slipping into, don't let the world press you into its mould. Don't conform, Paul says. It's time many of us stood up and said, we're Christians and we don't mind if you think we're different. Because sometimes we want to go along with the crowd, don't we? Sometimes you stand out. I've said before, maybe I'm going to do this one day. I'll preach on those verses none of us like. In this world you will have trouble. That's a good one, Derek, isn't it? GPS signal lost. It's okay. God knows where you are, don't worry. It's okay. Don't panic. Don't be conformed to this age or this world. We need to sometimes have a check of our systems and think, have we lost our understanding of what God's going to do? I'm not saying be foolish, because we've got to be careful. I've been thinking of this verse for a while. I've had some tests done, and I'm obviously thinking about mortality. But James says, you who say today or tomorrow we'll go here or there, what do you know? Your life is but a vapor. We're not guaranteed tomorrow. God's in charge. But so often, we conform to what the world tells us. It's time we were not conformed, Paul says. Our minds need renewing is the fifth thing he says. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. In the Greek, nous, that's where we get the idea from. Nous, when someone's got nous, he's got understanding. It's from the Greek for mind. That's a revelation for you, Michaela, isn't it? Eh? Every day's a school day. We need to fill our minds with thoughts of him and his kingdom, not thoughts of other stuff. Maybe we need to get a bit more excited about the future. The advert used to say, the future's bright, the future's orange. No, it's not. The future's bright, he's coming back and we're going to be with him. We're going to be in heaven and reign and rule, the Bible says. Wow! What a thing. I've been chosen to reign. I'm going to reign with him. Focus on the present and the future, not the past. Some of us are locked into the past, and it's not a good thing. By all means, remember what God has done. If you've got regrets about the past, and I have, some things I've done I'm not very proud of, you can't change them, you can learn from them. But the present and the future, now what can? How I live today, looking forward to the future of Christ's return and my body resurrected. Wow. So our minds need renewing. Paul says, take every thought captive, make it obedient to Christ. He says, our weapons are not carnal, i.e. fleshly, but mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Spiritually, whatsoever is good, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is noble, think on these things. We should be filling our minds with good stuff. Maybe you're watching the telling, perhaps you're watching something you ought not to. What are you filling your mind with? What are you looking at? What are you listening to? Surround yourself with people of faith, not people of fear. Who you mix with impacts you. You have some people, don't you? I'm surprised they're not walking around like the cartoon characters with a big black cloud and rain coming down on them. Because all they ever talk about is negative. Oh, you can't do that. That won't work. Have you thought of this? You know how much that costs? My goodness. I don't want to be with them. Thank you very much. Get around people who've got a bit of faith. You can do it with God. Jonathan said to David, it's a great verse, I am with you, heart and soul. You need to encourage people, say, I'm with you, go for it. We can do it. God's not diminished, has he? All things are possible with me. Without me, you can do nothing. Surround yourself with people of faith, not fear. There are some good sometimes on YouTube, there's all sorts of weird stuff, some good stuff too. Be careful what you look at and what you listen to. There's some stuff that can build you up. So Paul says, renew our minds. Then, notice that, then, when we've renewed our minds, we'll be able to prove what God's perfect will is. That doesn't mean generally, but in everyday decisions he's talking about. If we're living daily for God, we want God to tell us in our daily decisions. When I was preparing this, I was thinking of Jean Bullock, many of you will know, who's passed away. Jean always used to say when I talked to her, and sometimes I'd walk home with her occasionally, I have to go home and talk to God and ask him about that, Jed. And I used to think it's quite eccentric and quaint, but in a sense she was right. She lived in the understanding she talked to God about everything. So it's a bit weird, but that's where she was at. Not a bad thing. Haven't got time to go there, but in the book of Acts, there are many instances where God speaks to people directly and gives them information, lots of information. We should be living every day saying to God, what do you want me to do? Who do you want me to see? What do you want me to say? What, I've got to go and give Mrs. So-and-so how much? You want me to give her how much money? God speaks to us like that. I was in a situation a couple of years back where I was fortunate. God had blessed me. In fact, I think I remember making a promise to God when I was going through divorce and my finances were tough and a couple of red letters and a court judgment against me. And I was struggling. I remember saying, if I ever get in the place where I've got money, I vow to be generous. Because I'd been in the place where I didn't have money and it was hard. Couldn't take my kids on holiday. It made me quite sad that I couldn't afford to do it. My wife had disappeared and I had three boys living with me. And I couldn't make ends meet with two wages coming in before she left. I couldn't make ends meet with one wage. And I remember thinking, I don't like being here. I remember saying to myself, if I ever get to the place, and I didn't think I would, where I've got money, allow me to be generous. And I was in here one day praying, and God spoke to me and said, I want you to give £300 to that person. I thought, no, that can't be you, God. That can't be right, can it? But I wrote a check out and gave it to this person. And they said to me, that's really interesting. We've just had our car in for service, and the bill's come to £299. I don't know what I did with the other pound, really. Don't happen there. But sometimes we've got to respond to God, haven't we? If our heart's open, God will speak. Don't close your heart off. Holy Spirit wants to give you specific information. Sometimes you don't understand. I don't know. That's what you're telling me. I don't know what's going to happen. That's okay. God's all right with that. I was playing a song earlier for Ray. I was thinking of this song. It came into my head, and I thought, I don't know if I made that song up or not. I seem to remember it. It was a song that was out years ago. Some of you may remember it. Get in touch with God, turn your radio on was the song. Sung by a guy called Ray Stevens, who sang the thing about the streak he sang? Michael's with me. What I'm saying is you need to make yourself available for God to speak. Get in touch with God, however that works for you. However your antenna is up, whatever you do, get in touch with God. That's what Paul's saying. Therefore, in the light of all this, you can prove what his will is every day. So they lived in that basis, that according to God's will. There's a sense in which we've moved away from that sometimes when we're living according to what we can put in play, what others put in play. But we should be aware, again, getting our minds right, God's bigger than all that. If you've got problems at work or at home, God can sort it out. I don't know how, but he can do it. That's what I'm telling you. That's what the Bible says. God can do it. Here's the opening lines of this song. Come and listen in to a radio station where the mighty hosts of heaven sing. Turn your radio on. He's talking about talking to God. If you want to feel those good vibrations. Are you open for broadcasting? Two-way? Are you open for receiving? You see them on telly with the walkie-talkies. You've got to click a little button where you speak, and then you've got to click it to receive. Some of us are so busy speaking, we haven't spent any time receiving. God wants to speak to us. God wants to give us information. We call it, if you like, in spiritual terms, certainly in Corinthians 12, words of knowledge and wisdom. What a thing it is to know something about someone. God speaks to you directly. Paul says, when we're moving in the Spirit, people will come in from outside and declare, how do you know the workings of my heart? This is the wonder of God. We are a Pentecostal church, aren't we? Believers in the Holy Spirit who can move and give us information we don't know naturally. When we speak in another language, it isn't something we've learned. It's God moving. Better check where I'm at time-wise. I think that's about it, but I'll sum up for you. How do we live the Christian life? We must at all times remember God's mercies. Offer ourselves, body, soul, spirit, mind. The way it's done is thankfulness through our lives and through our praise. Be aware the world we live in tries to impose its standards on us. Our minds need to be renewed by the Holy Spirit. We need to be in touch with God to know how He likes to, if you like, make decisions and how He wants us to live. Thank you for listening.